Welcome to the Gypcast. Join us on our journey as we explore the ebb and flow of the marketing seascape. Welcome to the Gypcast. I'm David Shepherd, and I'm the president and CEO at Gyp. And I'm here with a good friend of mine who I've known since 2009. His name is Rob Campbell.
Hello.
And Rob Campbell is the chief media strategist, CEO, chief bottle washer and all that sort of stuff at Smojo, smojo.com. And Rob, you've been you and I have known each other for a long time, and we've worked together on lots of projects. When we first met, you were working on a brilliant little project called Lenser, which was a photo contest website, which you used to use for your achieving your SEO goals for your clients, which was a brilliant concept at the time.
A storytelling vehicle.
A storytelling vehicle, absolutely. So what I'd like to talk about today is what your latest project is now. And I know you've been, you and I worked on this about a year ago, but you have been working on how to leverage live events for SEO. We worked on one last year, but before we get into that, let's talk a little bit about how you got to where you are now.
Life after Lenser.
Life after Lenser, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk a little bit about what you're focused on now, Rob?
Mm-hmm. So Lenser was a great learning experiment for everyone involved, and the companies and businesses that used it, I think, benefited immensely from its link-building potential. Mm-hmm. And I think it was ahead of its time. And we were building Cadillacs and SUVs when Hyundais and smaller economy vessels would have worked. Mm-hmm. So in the new reality, ironically, Lenser would actually be very effective in today's difficult link-building environment. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, the takeaway is we can use primarily three organisms as storytelling vehicles in place of Lenser, which was a little contrived in some senses. So if you were to say what works today as an SEO practitioner, by the way, I just want to say the very worst people, in my opinion, practicing SEO are SEO companies and a PR agency or a creative strategic agency capable of telling a story is often a much better choice for a search engine optimization practitioner.
Okay, you know what? That's a very good point, and I want to get back to that in a second. I want to ask you one thing. I'd like you to explain something that is always stuck in my mind since I've met you. You have a brilliant phrase that you used from the very beginning when I met you, and it's called story funnels to buck stops. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if you could talk to that just for a minute. Can you explain what that is?
Well, that's the backbone of what I'm still selling, and that's essentially what Lenser did it with the turnkey. But we have to be a little more aggressive now. We have to be a little more creative to find those stories to tell. But essentially, it's big to small. We start off, we take all our eggs and make the biggest, most beautiful display possible, and then we funnel it down through blogs and discussion forums, mm-hmm. truncating, sniping, adding little bits of media until we can turn one idea into about 7 to 10 one incoming link in the article into 7 or 10 incoming links to the company.
So story funnels essentially is your storytelling. Those are all the different funnels of stories coming from different properties.
That's right.
And then the buck stop is what? That's the
client page.
The target, the website, mm-hmm. the client page, whatever the website address is that you want to focus on.
And humans find it coming in from the tweets and the Facebook. They go from small to big. They mm-hmm. follow the breadcrumbs into the big media, mm-hmm. where I think robots archive and index everything, and it looks more important because of the human activity in the principalities and in the appendages of this story funnel coming through and showing usability through the entire chain right to the buck stop.
So when you say robots, you're talking about the Google search?
Bots, yeah.
Okay. All right. The cache bots. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Okay. So to get back to where we are today, so we want to talk today about how to leverage live events for SEO. Mm-hmm. About a year ago, you had approached me with this idea, and we decided that we were going to do an experiment with Gyp. Mm-hmm. Okay, today Gyp has benefits from that activity we did a year ago, and it was leveraged the keyword phrase advertising agencies Toronto. Mm-hmm. Okay, We've been on the first page of Google search results for that term for longer than a year, but you helped me get to the top of the page using a gallery, an art gallery in Toronto that we sponsored. So what we did was we approached the hashtag gallery, which is a brilliant little event on Dundas West, where a location for arts...
event space.
An event space, where they would have local artists participate in contests, and they would submit art based on a theme, right? So they would run the event. They would have people participate in the event. Artists would join. They would make their art pieces, and then they would send them to the gallery to be featured on a day, a pre-chosen day in advance, right? So what you did for me was you did a little bit of pre-work, right? So let's talk about the before, the during, and then the after components of running an SEO event. Okay. A live event for SEO purposes.
So first of all, what the takeaway from Lenser and the learnings we did in 2009 to 2012, we realized that three things work really well. And I think it's important to discuss why they work well.
Okay.
Coupons, contests, and live events. And what you're describing was both a live event and a contest. Mm. And the reason those three things work really well is because they can be shared. And they are especially mobile-friendly sharing. Mm-hmm. So people share coupons, they share contests especially, and they love inviting their friends with them to live events. So that worked really well, the hashtag gallery piece, because there was media, invitation media around bringing humans to the gallery, but also invitation media bringing artists to compete.
Right.
And that allowed us to put the link in to the prize, and of course... you can't have a prize without a prize sponsor and a prize judge to set the parameters of the contest and all of what... Well, I think we put a lot of that meat on the JIP blog, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
It was where the rules of the road were listed. Mm-hmm. So people went there both to find, you know, how big the prize was, what the parameters of the contest judging were, and the timeline.
Correct.
So that worked really well because they showed usability for real, because people were really inclined to read that text because they thought they could profit from it, which is, you know, follow the money. It always works.
So the before components of this campaign were what?
The before component, the most important thing we set down first was we set down the page and the likely title or the focus keyword that we were going after, which was Toronto Advertising Agencies.
Right.
Okay. And so we set the homepage, I believe, of JIP Strategic to include those words. And so we sculpted the... You know, every time you have a party, you always clean up your house.
Yes.
And we cleaned up the house a little bit, JIP, there before we had a party.
Yeah.
And we invited all those people to come look. And so there would have been two links in that message, one to the homepage and one to the contest rules and parameters page. Mm-hmm. And... anyway, in the sharing of that, so not only did we make that media perfect, we then set about sharing it. And that's the before category for that is the invitation media.
I see.
Where we went out and, you know, dripped all these sensational messages, really. Like, you could win. Come to a one-of-a-kind event. Experience something you've never seen before. And that message worked really well, too, because it had an ideological component, which was a look at the future.
Mm.
If I'm not mistaken, it was future... What was the meme? It was future fashion, future...
I think it was the future design.
Future, yes. So, it was images from the past... looking at the future in bizarre ways.
Yes.
Right. So it was like dystopian, weird angles. And
so that
concepts.
Was a theme for the artists that
it
were creating the media.
Though, and we could probably take a second here and remember there was a good hashtag. There was a good meme to it. It was future bizarre or something.
Mm.
And so that trended itself. So when you type that in, we dominated that category.
That's right.
In Twitter. Anyway, in the before components, we set all that up just so during we could use those hashtags, we could put those in the videos, we could go to Facebook with that same meme, and we could be relevant in that category.
So just to recap, the before, I guess the things of, that we needed to do before the event, the invitation media that you talked about.
Three things we needed to do. We need to clean the house,
yep.
We need to build the invitation media and make it perfect, and then we needed to write some ideological construct that we could reference and bring a holier-than-thou, a more to it, a raison d'etre to our messages on the day.
So then the event happens. Okay, so leading up to the event, you have all this media that's going out announcing that there's this art contest, and it's sponsored by a local advertising agency, so you build all that media, fantastic. Then the day of. We have the event.
Yep.
What kinds of things should be happening during the event?
Find the biggest celebrity that's there that day and put them in your media and tweet to them and massage them social media-wise with links to your messaging so that when they retweet it, their massive diaspora will become aware. When they use their Twitter and their Facebook to echo your messages, which is very flattering to them, they will amplify the strength and validity of your messages, which have links to the previous ideologies and such that you've set up. All of this, remember, is linking to the client, to the buck stop. All of these messages that we put out so far have some links into the client, and during the party is when we can set fire to them. We can make YouTube videos and put them up there, put them in our Twitter, tweet the video, and all of that is setting fire to the messages we've already laid down.
Well, I believe that last year what we did was we encouraged the people who attended the art gallery, the event itself, we encouraged them to tweet their favorite paintings, right, and art.
And you can incent them.
That's right. So we incentivized them. We encouraged them to tweet and select the ones that they felt was the best representation of the theme or the meme for that evening. And in doing that, obviously
there was a contest element to that.
Exactly. There was a contest element to that as well. The media was being pushed around, again, feeding the Google algorithms and so on and so forth, and essentially saying that, hey, there's something happening here, something interesting, and building more credibility for the links that you were or the page that we were targeting, correct?
Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, YouTube, those are the platforms that you use on the day. And yes, the contest element adds validity to the organism going forward. Those four platforms, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Snapchat, don't have a lot of SEO strength on their own, but they are used as condiments for the more nutritious and wholesome media previously planted and the legacy content that we will build at the antecedent, in the aftermath.
Very nice. So we have the before media, the invitation media. Then you have the during media, which is the event, live event posting of Twitter and YouTube and so on and so forth.
We try to suggest a fear of missing out.
That's right.
A FOMO there.
And then once the event is finished, it's ended and there's a winner's been chosen for this. In this case, there was an art contest.
Yep.
What do you do with that media? Is there a follow-up media that you have to post?
Yes. So this is probably the most important part is the after. It's certainly the place where you can get the most links because now you have the details of an event. And this is an event that has happened. It will never happen again, like on the same day, time, weather, circumstances, population, art, etc. All these factors are different. So in a sense, you've become the Wikipedia of this event. And it behooves you to detail all facets of it. And so what I do is I write a Word document first where I literally just throw every anecdote, every picture I have that's worth publishing, every micro piece of minutia on this page. Then I would go through and comb it in one direction or another. First, it behooves me to write the ultimate story funnel here at the end, which has a great piece for a very respected publication. I'm going to look at Digital Journal. I'm going to look at, Globe and Mail, obviously, if I thought I could get it in, Toronto Star, etc. I'm going to go down the list until I can find one that accepts the merits of the publication. Whether it has links to the client or not, whether I can get a link to the client, it depends how high up I can get. Perhaps the Globe and Mail won't let me link to the client. That's fine.
Right.
I'll still write for them and then funnel that down.
Yeah.
So on the way down, let's say I get it in Hello Toronto Magazine or Toronto Guardian Magazine, then I'm going to write the best possible dissertation of the event from a chronological perspective, all of the things that I think the audience will like and share, putting my best media there, hosting the pictures, some of them, on the Toronto Guardian or whatever the host magazine is. Then I'm going to go to niche blogs, artist blogs, art gallery blog. The hashtag gallery has its own blog. I'm going to take photos and pieces of rich content that I've individually optimized, from the event on other pieces on that Toronto Guardian bus server. I'm going to bring that down and truncate that into a smaller piece of media, but equally satisfying, wholly original, another perspective. And so this is an important part. I'm not rehashing the story. Well, I am in a sense, but it's a new perspective. Mm. So from the hashtag gallery, they're really more focused on the quality of their venue and, you know, perhaps the gallerist's choices. Mm. Whereas the Globe and Mail was all about the people and the celebrities and the winner. And
right.
So there's different elements. And then again and again and again, and I'm going to keep funneling this until I can make, well, depending on the places that I can market the material, where I can get it published. Mm-hmm. And usually I'm good for 7 to 10 places. And that's 7 to 10 fresh facets of one story. So this is meme weaving.
Yeah.
Always going back to that ideological construct at the beginning, always talking, weaving in those rich media elements that are individually optimized on YouTube, Facebook, Flickr, all the, et cetera. And then finally at the end, we're going to sum it all up in something I call mashup media, which is places like Storify and the New Hive. And, well, Squeedo used to be the ultimate mashup, but I guess it's turned into Hub Pages now, and I don't go there anymore.
Mm. Well, this is fascinating, Rob, because it's not about quantity anymore. It's really about the quality, isn't it? And I think that what's interesting about your methodology is that you do a great job, a highly focused job of targeting the keyword phrase that you, or the keyword phrases that you're targeting, and also keeping the story fresh and interesting and always from a different angle.
Yes.
So that you're not duplicating the content, you're coming at it from different angles. And what happens is that very targeted approach does a huge job of lifting the customer, the target website page to the forefront, doesn't it?
Yes, and I think it's directly, the success of it is directly tied to the amount and quality of social signals on the media. Mm. So the links themselves, and this is a very important point to stress, it is quantity over quality, although I hate saying that. I try to put quality in everything I do, right? Mm-hmm. So I think the quality is, it has to be good quality for people to share it. Yeah. Nobody is going to share with their mom a crappy message.
Right.
So you have to, even if it's just sending it in text, like to get those people to share that message, it has to be good. And that's the most important thing to move the Google robots. Remember, Google's number one question is, who cares?
Right. I have something I want to ask you now. So in a sense, okay, in our case, because we use the art gallery, hashtag gallery, as a leverage point, I guess, mm-hmm. for us to achieve our SEO goal. I used to think that that it was irrelevant, or almost a distraction, right? Using the art gallery is kind of a distraction for us. Mm. But I think it's important that rather than selecting something that you don't care about just to leverage SEO, you should actually have some affinity for it, right? Because what happens then is that if it's something you care about, for instance, I like art, and my team likes art, and because I'm in the industry, it's also a very relevant subject for me. So aligning my brand with something that I feel strongly about is key as well. So finding events so if you want to leverage SEO and you want to use a live event to help you do that, it really should be something you care about.
Passion.
Yes.
It's the secret is passion. So I hate to talk about my clients, but we both know and have both worked with a Toronto dentist in.
Yes.
And she has a passion for elder abuse and stopping elder abuse. Mm. And a byproduct of that passion is incredibly good SEO, because she gets published, her writings and her thoughts on this and her legislative actions indeed are, retweeted, and they're the subject of great thought melding. Mm-hmm. So she's part of that discussion, and that really helps. And I think it goes back to this idea of the internet turning us into a Web 3.0, a synchronous body like the Borg. where we are, you know, and certain people, certain components of the Borg, if you imagine that society, must be more dynamic than other components, and they would become more important, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's what happens. If you have passion and you can share something, anything, which you are the expert on, the world needs, demands, and rewards hearing from you.
Fantastic, Rob. Mm-hmm. Really, really good stuff. So today's podcast was about how to leverage live events for SEO. Rob, I think you did a great job of explaining how we did this for our agency. Do you think that this is an easy thing to do with any client, or is it something that is it on a case by case basis?
Well, I think it's definitely what Google wants you to do. I think the days of just writing benign content about a company or about the niche space are over. It's out there. It's been done already. Anything you can think of has been done already. Mm. You have to add your perspective in a new and relevant way. And live events are always new and unique. So
let me ask you this, okay, just as an example for somebody who might be listening. So I'm a company that does basement waterproofing. Okay. And I come to you and I say, you know, Rob, I have a website and I'd like to increase my business. And I think that if I could be found on search, I'd have more leads and more business. How can you help my company? What kinds of things would you do for a basement waterproofing company, for instance?
So basement waterproofing company is not really a story full business, is it? It is in some sense, I guess, because there's disaster stories you could tell, but that's not necessarily a good brand story. Mm-hmm. Unless you survive the disaster. So in that case, it's funny you should choose that example, but I would go story prospecting and I would show up at a job site. And in fact, I've done this for a basement waterproofing where I would just walk around their job and look at the technology, look at the things, try to tell stories from that perspective. But if they wanted to execute a campaign...
Well, basically tie it to a local event, for instance.
Yes. Then if they are, you know, showing at the... small business show or the entrepreneur show, then you know, we could definitely. So this is kind of an interesting concept because we would write a story about the show with a paragraph about the waterproofing company.
Right.
And that would be far more shareable than writing about the waterproofing company at the show.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's how you would leverage the live event, essentially.
Yes. I would turn on my citizen journalism hat and look straight at the event and then just happen to nudge over and pay some attention to this smaller organism.
Excellent. Rob, it's been great having you here today. I think this is a really good podcast. I've been meaning to do this with you for a while because
thank you.
Your work is fantastic. I mean, we've together and also on your own, you've put hundreds of websites on the first page of Google results. You obviously are a master. You really know what you're doing. And I think that any company that's considering or needs help getting themselves some attention on Google search results would benefit tremendously from your skill. Again, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Rob. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you for listening to the Jibcast. Jib Strategic is a boutique advertising agency in Toronto, where we create big fat ideas that sell.